Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the Seven Centers, Part 2. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy. And those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The etheric body is composed entirely of lines of force and points where these lines of force cross each other and thus form centers of energy. Where many such lines of force cross each other, you have a larger center of energy. And where great streams of energy meet and cross, you have seven major centers. We've been talking about the seven centers in a general way. Can you say more about the qualities and differences of each of the seven centers?
Yes, we should, because they are each of them unique and have specific functions. To remind our listeners, we've been talking about the seven centers as an expression or an outcome, I guess you could say, of the etheric vehicle, the etheric body, which substands the physical body and is the energy conductor, I think we could say, for forces and energies that enter into the physical body eventually and work out in disease or health. But the great clearinghouse and the real conditioning factor is the etheric body. The seven centers are seven major focal points or concentrations of energy. There are many centers in the etheric body, but there are seven specifically related to consciousness, to the awakening of consciousness, and therefore to the progression on the spiritual evolutionary path. Some of our listeners may have understood that with the stimulation of a particular center, an expansion of consciousness results, and one moves forward in spirituality. But in fact, that can be the backward way and quite risky, quite dangerous. The centers ideally should open naturally as a result or as an effect of spiritual growth and not be the cause of it. But we need to understand how these centers function and what effects to look for. There are five centers along the spinal column, not directly in the spinal column, but slightly apart from it, because the etheric body stands slightly outside and beyond the physical body itself. There are seven along the spinal, five along the spinal column, and two in the head. And maybe we should start from the top down with the head center. It is, as people might suspect, the governing center. What can we say about it?
Well, it's one of the major centers that connects us with the forces of consciousness and the soul, and it's probably one of the later centers to really open up, because it is the kind of what is called the synthesizing center. It synthesizes energies that come up from the lower centers, from the heart and the throat center. And those energies are gathered through the head center. And so the head center is really one of the major, major centers, and that's located kind of right at the top of the head.
It's interesting that a number of spiritual traditions have the custom of wearing a covering over the head center. Well, the Jewish tradition of the yarmulke, the Islamic tradition of wearing the skull cap, the I'm trying to think of another religion that, women often have to cover their heads, for example, in the Catholic Church, and these are all probably reflections of that awareness of the power of the head center.
I'm not sure if they understand the real significance of it, but
yes, somebody did it one time.
It's carried
somewhere along the line, right?
Yeah.
Traditions carried down from century to century.
Mm-hmm.
So it is one of the major centers, and it's it corresponds to the central spiritual sun is another way of looking at it, if that's a symbolic way of understanding it.
Each center is associated with a gland. The gland is the physical concentration of forces and energies that are the outpicturing, we could say, of the etheric center. And in the case of the head center, the gland associated with it is the pineal gland or pineal gland. The British say pineal.
Yes, that's a gland that's, I don't know if it's too active yet in the physical body.
I don't think a great deal is known about it, is it?
Right, because it hasn't really awakened yet. I mean, the head center in the general populace is probably not awake as much yet, and so therefore there isn't that much attention to it, and the secretions of these different glands is not as strong or as effective because the center associated with it is not really awake too. And I'd like to inject here just an important feature about these centers. They not only help control the energy flow through the physical body and control the health of the physical body, but they also connect us with the soul aspect, with the divine aspect that lies beyond on the inner planes. So the centers are like gateways for energies coming from extra planetary sources in some respects and from the soul. So these centers are extremely important because they help us in determining the energy of consciousness that we are focused in.
And the head center is one of the major centers from the standpoint of the soul, whose nature is consciousness. The center in the head is a center of entry and exit, we're told. Entry, when the soul makes contact with its instrument, its vehicle, at birth or slightly after, and at death. The soul is said to withdraw from two points, one or the other, depending on the individual's spiritual evolution, I think, either from the heart, where the life aspect is anchored, or from the head, if there is a degree of spiritual consciousness.
Right, and that's an interesting feature that
Isn't
we don't really understand at the time of death.
Isn't that probably one reason for the argument about whether one is dead when the brain is dead or one is dead when the heart is dead? It probably is related to that misunderstanding about or lack of understanding about exiting from the heart or from the head, depending on the individual's evolution.
Mm-hmm.
But esoterically, the head center is only brought into activity at the third initiation, which is quite an advanced stage of spiritual awareness. Moving down the spinal column, the center between the eyebrows is called the Ajna center.
Yes, and that's also a very important center because it represents the it also has a gland associated with it. which is the pituitary gland,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of the it sums up the whole of the personality nature is associated with that gland, and it's the Ajna center is a center of distribution.
Mm-hmm.
It distributes energies that are gathered upward, or if we need to distribute these energies, like in meditation, we work through the Ajna center.
The center between the eyebrows, mm-hmm. the third eye, as it's sometimes called, if there is that psychic functioning. It's a center that is fully functioning when the soul and the personality, or the consciousness and the outer vehicle, are completely integrated and fused. Then that center is awake. The stage of awakening takes a great deal of time, many lifetimes, and is often responsible for a lot of eye trouble and brain problems, mm-hmm. and so on.
Yeah, these diseases that we encounter so much today have a lot to do with the condition of the etheric body and how we use these energies that flow through the etheric body and through the centers. And oftentimes the diseases, that particular ones that we have, are associated with a particular center, and that would determine, it often is determined where our consciousness lies, whether it's in the emotional nature and in the solar plexus, or in further up in the throat center. People who have a lot of throat problems and respiratory problems may be affected by the energies that flow through the throat center.
Yes, but I think we have to be careful because we don't want to imply that if you have a brain tumor, you're really advanced. And if you have prostate cancer, you're really down on the spiritual totem pole. It's not that clear cut. But
no, but I think there is a some connection there with the degree of energy flow and how we utilize the energy flow through the body.
And it could be also, if you have disease in some area of the body, it could be a karmic carryover that is being worked through in this lifetime, and it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a direct indication where you are spiritually polarized, but mm-hmm. there's been mishandling of energy in the past that's reflected through that center now. And we should say that all of us are dealing with the residue of lifetimes of mishandling force and energy. That's why we're here on Earth. Mm-hmm. We're works in progress. We're learning. We're growing. So we're not laying blame or pointing the finger at anybody. The throat center is the center at the back of the neck, and that's one that's becoming very active at the present time. Mm-hmm. It's related to the thyroid gland. And it's associated with creativity.
Right, and this is a very active center today. I think it's becoming more and more active, particularly among the more awakened and advanced people in consciousness, because they tend to be very creative, and in many ways, and creative in the arts, and creative in through cultural ways, and So I think it's a very active center.
It's a center of transference from the sacral center, which is the center of the gonads, the sexual life. That energy has to be lifted up into the throat center, and I think that's an interesting point to consider when one reads about artists whose lives are so polarized between active freewheeling sexual expression and a very great deal of creative artistic ability. I'm thinking of somebody like Picasso, who's pretty obvious, and they're functioning through both centers, I suppose, without having completely lifted the energy up.
Yes, and I think this is another way that we can evaluate different individuals and their creative work. So it's another way of looking at in people and trying to understand about what's going on with them.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the Seven Centers, Part 2. And we have an offer available from Lucis Trust today. I think many of you will like it. It's a gift. It's a gift from Lucis Trust to you. Absolutely no strings attached. All you have to do is order it. And what it is it's a free paper. The title of the paper is The Etheric Body and the Seven Centers. So what you need to do to take advantage of this paper, of this gift from Lucis Trust, is to order on a toll-free number. Give us a call, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. And ask for the etheric body and the seven centers, and it'll give you a chance to further explore this particular theme that we're having today, the title of which is The Seven Centers, Part 2. If you're interested, you can take a deeper look at this particular subject. Also, we want to thank you. You've been very good to send in your donations, and that's what keeps us on the air. We certainly appreciate and thank you for your support. So if you would like to, if you like this program and you'd like to continue listening to it, that'll keep us on the air, and just continue by donations. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's send all, and by the way, they're tax deductible. Send donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website, so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. Now, Sarah, you said something a little cryptic to me, and it really piqued my interest. You said that the chakra of consciousness, the head chakra, generally opens more fully during the third initiation, and I can't help it. It just keeps on rolling over in my mind. What is the third initiation? I want to get there.
Well, the third initiation is the first real initiation. We've talked in the past about the initiations. Perhaps we should return to that topic sometime. But the third initiation is the point in spiritual development where there is complete fusion at one-ment between the soul and its instrument, the physical, emotional, and mental bodies, and the personality as a whole. In other words, the outer individual and the spiritual soul are one. So obviously it's a fairly advanced stage of the path, and well ahead of most of us, and that's why the head center doesn't really have a lot of activity in most people, even spiritual aspirants. They are more familiar with the functioning of the throat, the heart, the solar plexus centers, because they're still, we are still in the process of bringing those energies up in consciousness, raising our consciousness, but we're not focused in the head yet, most of us. We left off with the throat center. Perhaps we should resume with the heart, but there's so much that could be said about the heart center that I think it's going to need its own program. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of focus on the heart. There's a lot of misunderstanding about the heart. It's located along the spinal column between the shoulder blades. It's associated with the thymus gland, which is not very well understood. But they do know, psychology does know, that if the thymus gland isn't functioning properly, You have an irresponsible, amoral person, and that's interesting because that would be someone without a heart.
Yes, and it's here again, it's the heart is I think you we see examples of the heart awakening today.
Yes.
So much of the service orientation that comes natural to so many people today is a demonstration of this heart quality. And that's an indication that this heart center is awakening. And it's not because people are forcing it open. They're simply following a spontaneous reaction in their own being to serve. And it's service that opens the heart center more than anything else. And it opens it in a very organized way, in a very easy way. It's not a dangerous way,
in other words, healthy way.
So it comes natural to a lot of people today, more and more, and you find this impulse to serve.
I think that's also why we see so much heart disease today. For one thing, medical treatment is able to prolong human life much more than years ago when people had a heart attack and died, or a stroke. Now they can treat it and people can live decades of enjoyable lives, but there is also, I think, a real increase in heart disease as this center awakens more and more. It's the center through which we sense group relationship. It's the center that awakens when we move out of our self-focus, our self-centered, it's all about me attitude toward life, when we're capable of sensing relationships and at a more advanced level of being at one with the whole, with all of humanity, with all of life. That is an achievement that comes through the awakened heart. But more often, I think the heart is a term given to functioning that really belongs to the center below it, the solar plexus. We think that people have a lot of heart when more likely they're expressing a lot of solar plexus energy, the emotional force of desire, of acquisition, of attraction, of possession.
Yes, well, it's the great feeling nature that comes over us, and we tend to think of that as being love, as true love, but it isn't. It's true feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's true emotional nature, and that's what comes through the solar plexus region. The solar plexus today is a very strong and very awakened center in most everybody. And we see that also. That is what's driving so much of our desire out in the world. Desire for things, desire for material things, desire for money, desire for power, desire for whatever. And it's all being driven by this awakened solar plexus that is just kind of taking control of your life. And so that's kind of where our focus of attention appears to be most of the time.
I think it's also the center responsible for a lot of misunderstanding about what love is. Romantic love. We have this ideal of romantic love that is really much more focused in the solar plexus than in the heart. Romantic love flares up and then it flares down. And it's mistaken for love, but wasn't it Shakespeare who said, "Love is not love that alters when it alteration finds"?
Got a good memory.
Well, I saw the movie Sense and Sensibility recently again by Jane Austen, and she repeated that wonderful statement, "Love is not love that alters when it alteration finds." That kind of love that is steadfast and true blue is the expression of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there's a great deal of difference between the love of the solar plexus and the love of the heart, because one is solar plexus, as you said.
It's desire.
Yeah, and it's totally me-oriented.
Mm-hmm. I want that.
And whereas the true heart love is unconditional love, And the little self is not involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a love that's totally other than the little me.
And the gland associated with the heart, or with the solar plexus, rather, is the pancreas gland,
mm-hmm.
If people are keeping track of that. It's the center that makes us say, I have a gut feeling. It's the capacity to sense without really having a mental reaction. It's an awakened center, not only in human beings, but in a lot of animals. In fact, I think the Ageless Wisdom says the solar plexus is the brain of the animal. Mm-hmm. They feel, they intuit, well, not intuit, they think, they react through their feeling centers. Below the solar plexus is a center that gets a lot of activity in our society, the sacral center.
Yes, and here again it's the creative center. It's related to the creative center because it is that creative energy, but it's also the energy of the sexual nature, and it stimulates that nature. And where we are focused, so much of our attention today is the energy goes through that center.
Mm-hmm. It's indispensable for keeping the human race around.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But
be fruitful and multiply.
Yes,
and
that's the center that makes us say, okay. And below the solar plexus is the base of the spine center, again, a center about which very little is known. And what's interesting is the base of the spine center is the repository of the fire of pure will, which, as I understand it, when it awakens, then lights up the circuits all along the spinal column and travels straight up to the head center, and you have a completely realized human being.
That's the Kundalini center, and there's a lot of discussion and attempting today to raise the Kundalini, which is very difficult and very dangerous to force that center open.
Don't try it, even though there are people that will show you how, or think they'll show you how. As you said earlier, the best way to awaken the centers is through service.
It's a very extremely potent energy.
Please take advantage of the special offer in the form of a gift from Lucis Trust. It's the Lucis Trust gift to you, and it's a paper. It's a free paper. All you have to do is call, give us a call, ask for it. The title of the paper, Ask for the Etheric Body and the Seven Centers. So give Lucis Trust a call and ask for your gift. Call them toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866 NY Lucis. Think of 1-866 New York Lucis, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.